Holy cow is right. Baseball season is back. Well, sort of. Pitchers and catchers have officially reported, which means the season is just around the corner. Hello and welcome to TY's 20 on WordPress Radio. As promised, our Major League Baseball divisional previews are beginning this week, and we're going to dive right in. The division we're discussing this week is the National League East. And on the phone with us right now is our Major League Baseball expert, Seth Lawrence. Seth, how's it going? Welcome to the show.
Thanks, T.Y. How are you doing?
Doing great, man. Can't wait for baseball. Since this is only a 20-minute program, we've got to go somewhat quickly through our discussion of the divisions each week, but we're going to start out with doing a quick synopsis of every team in the NL East. And the questions we're going to address, how did they finish last season? What did they gain? What did they lose? What questions do they have heading into 2011? And do we have any bold predictions for that team? And we're going to start with the Philadelphia Phillies. And this team has been to the playoffs 4 straight years, including 2 pennants and 1 World Series title. So, Seth, why don't you start out by answering the questions I just brought up about the Philadelphia Phillies?
Well, T.Y., Philly finished in first place last year. I don't have exact record for them, but I know that they were far and above the best team in that division. The Braves were giving them a run late, but Philly's just too good. As far as weaknesses, I'm looking at their roster right now. The only thing I can say is third base might be the biggest question. I mean, they added Cliff Lee in the offseason. That was probably the biggest surprise, I would say, because everybody tapped him to go to the Yankees or Texas, and just within a matter of hours, he decides to go to Philly. So that rotation's pretty well set between Halliday, Lee, Hamels, and Oswalt, the top 4, in that rotation. That's just ridiculous. So, and then you look at the big 3 and Utley, Howard, and then Ibanez or Victorino in center. I mean, and then Rollins is short. That's a pretty solid core right there. So offensively, this team is set. I would say defensively, third base might be a liability just because of Plácido Polanco's age. Jimmy Rollins at shortstop, his health is probably the biggest concern you have there. But if he's healthy, I mean, he's one of the best shortstops in baseball. And, looking at their bullpen, it's pretty solid. I mean, there's a little bit of age there, but Brad Lynch closing games out is going to be real good for them. I mean, he's obviously one of the top closers in baseball, so you can't ignore that there. And I think behind the plate, Carlos Reed's probably one of the most underrated catchers in the game right now, and he's coming on strong. He had a good second half last year. I think he'll be one of their bigger surprises, I think, and like I said, one of the more underrated players in the game right now.
Yeah, it's no secret. This team rotation has a chance, in my opinion, to be one of the best rotations in history. I mean, the 4 guys you mentioned, very impressive, very scary for other division foes. The only thing I would say is, offensively, can Utley stay healthy? Can Rollins stay healthy? Can Dominic Brown produce? Will losing Jason Worth hurt as bad as what some people think? Not to mention, the Phillies lineup's getting a little bit older. It's still not terribly old, but Howard, Utley, and Rollins all, I believe, will be 32 this year. So that's kind of close to an age where power and speed start to slow down a little bit. But with that said, I think the Phillies are going to be just fine in 2011. We're going to talk now about the Atlanta Braves. I've got the synopsis for them. Last year, the Braves were the wild card winners and made the playoffs. They were also 1 strike away from going up 2-1 over the eventual World Series champion Giants in their division series. It was Bobby Cox's final season. They were actually my wild card pick last season, so I was happy they fulfilled my prediction, partly because I saw them destroy the Cubs on opening day 16-5, and I thought they were going to be good. As I mentioned, Bobby Cox, now gone after about 2,000 years as their manager or so. Freddie Gonzalez is the new skipper, a guy very familiar with the organization. Key additions to this team include Dan Uggla at second base. Freddie Freeman is their rookie prospect. He'll be playing first base full-time. They're hoping to move Martin Prado to left if Chipper Jones can stay healthy and play third. And they've got a bunch of young arms who will be up with the big league club full-time this season. Key losses: closer Billy Wagner retired, which really ticked me off because he was on my fantasy team. They didn't re-sign Derek Lee in the offseason because of the aforementioned Freeman. To me, I don't see this team having very many questions heading into 2011 other than Chipper Jones' health, and can Freeman live up to the hype like Jason Hayward did? Speaking of good rotations, this is a good one. Tim Hudson, Jair Jurgens, Tommy Hansen, Derek Lowe, and Mike Minor. That's a pretty legit starting five. If I were to have one bold prediction for this team this year, I would say that Tommy Hansen is going to explode. Seth, what do you got on the Braves?
Yeah, I like Tommy Hansen a lot. I saw him actually a spring training game they showed on TV 1 year, and he just pitched maybe two innings, but he was bringing it in the mid-90s, and he had a wicked curveball. So I don't know much about this Freeman kid. Apparently, what you said, he's a pretty hyped kid, but I look forward to him. It's always interesting to see when you have a power-hitting first baseman come up and what they can do their first year out. So we'll see what he does. If he does anything like Jason Hayward did, he should be fairly decent. I like Dan Uglis at second base. He's definitely very solid. Nathan Klaus at center field, I think, if he can stay healthy and can do what he did in Pittsburgh, should be, I guess, a nice comeback player of the year candidate, I think, because he, you know, did absolutely nothing when he played last year and was hurt over half the season, so we'll see what he does. But I think if he's healthy and plays anywhere with what he did in Pittsburgh, he's going to be solid. My only thoughts on the rotation is, and, you know, I thought this last year, and it, you know, it kind of, I guess, played out the way I thought. The rotation is a bunch of, like, 3, 4, 5 starters. And, you know, and the National League is starting to become so pitch-heavy, like, pitching-heavy now that it, you know, I guess Tommy Hansen is legit at number one, but then you go 2 through 5, and I'm not real impressed the rest of the way down. I mean, Jared Jurgens is okay. Derek Lowe is getting older. Hudson's getting older. It's, I don't know. The rotation to me is suspect.
Yeah, it should be also interesting with the Braves to see if they can keep up with the Phillies. And once again, we'll have the predictions in the second half of this broadcast. Next up, Seth, we're going to talk about your team, the New York Mets. I know it'll be tempting for you to talk a lot about them since it is your team, but give us the short version answering the questions that we're talking about.
I would have nothing positive to say if I was to talk a long time, but right now, biggest off-season addition, I think you could probably say, is Lonnie Paulino. I mean, they absolutely did nothing through this team. They avoided arbitration with R.A. Dickey and Mike Pelfrey. I mean, that's probably the biggest newsmakers of the off-season for them. Biggest question the team will definitely be the pitching. Obviously, Santana will miss the first half of the year. And then after that, what are you going to get from Pelfrey? And is R.A. Dickey going to repeat a nice season last year? Can Jonathan Neese and Dylan G, Henry Mejia, can those guys produce? I guess my one thing I want to say about this team is I think probably before spring training is over, they will announce that Angel Pagan will play center field regularly, and they will put Carlos Beltran in right. And then I think behind the plate, Josh Tolley, he was a rookie catcher last year. I think he's the future behind the plate for the Mets, and he's going to be solid. I look forward to him. The bullpen is awful. I mean, K-Rod, if he's not beating somebody up, his wife or his father-in-law, doesn't really get the job done on the mound in the late inning anymore, and he doesn't have the velocity he had. And I think one guy I would say a bold prediction is Chris Capuano, former left-handed pitcher for the Brewers, went through like two different Tommy John surgeries. At one point was completely out of baseball and came back. I think he'll be all right, and I think he could be an R.A. Dickey of last year, kind of a surprise guy that just comes out of nowhere and pitches well.
Yeah, get used to the pickoff attempts at first with Capuano. As far as the Mets go, I think health is such a big issue for them for the third straight year. To me, I just don't see them competing in one of baseball's stronger divisions with those question marks. But, you know, you never know what you'll get out of Reyes and Beltran these days. You know, Reyes could become trade bait by the deadline. They do have some talent, but the issues you mentioned, and I think, you know, a lot of things would have to happen for them to contend this year, but including health, and also I think they would need a big year out of Jason Bay, something I wouldn't hold my breath for.
Yeah, one more thing. Carlos Beltran in a lock year on his contract, I think he could be up for a big season. I mean, he's had maybe two good years with the Mets so far in his six-year tenure. I think if he does I think he could have a big year, and I think second base is probably their biggest weakness right now. Is even with the pitching and bullpen the way it is, they just don't really have anything there. And I actually like Jason Bay in left, even though that park is so big. If he stays healthy, I think he'll be decent.
Always fun to talk about the Metropolitans. Next up, we're discussing the Washington Nationals. A team with just 69 wins a year ago. They've had five straight losing seasons. Biggest problem last year to me was the losing the close games. At one point in the season, they lost 18 straight one-run games away from their home ballpark. They started 20-15 last year before losing lots and lots and lots of games. Key additions from their offseason, outfielder Jason Wirth is now a National, signing one of the most ridiculous contracts ever, especially since he's now 32 years old. I think the contract's just going to look awful eventually, but I do believe he'll be good for them for maybe the next 2 years or so. They've also added first baseman Adam LaRoche and signed Rick Ankiel to come off the bench. They subtracted a couple guys. They lost Adam Dunn and Josh Willingham. So you could argue the offense didn't improve a whole lot with that trade-off. Biggest question mark for this team, can they deal with the loss of Steven Strasburg, who might not pitch this season at all? And, you know, side note, I really hope he doesn't turn into the next Mark Pryor, because this kid can really pitch. But my bold prediction for this team, both of the Zimmermans are going to have big years, Ryan Zimmerman at third base, and I think Jordan Zimmerman might end up being the ace of their pitching staff.
Yeah, I agree. I think that Zimmerman kid is going to be good. To me, they just don't have an ace right now. I think he could be all right if he pitches well. That Wirth contract is awful. Jason Wirth actually grew up in one of the towns south of here, TY, and my high school team played his team in high school. And, you know, I don't know. That contract is, to me, is awful. This team is okay. I think they'll be all right. Nothing special. Nigel Morgan is the speedster in center. To me, he's probably the highlight of that outfield right now.
Juan Pierre II, as I call him.
Yeah,
yeah, all right. Last team to discuss quickly here is the Florida Marlins. Seth, what do you got on this team?
Well, the Marlins, we talked about it, lost Dan Uggla last year. They lost their manager, Freddie Gonzalez. But this is a young team, GY. I mean, they are they're pretty solid. They've got some good talent on the infield with Hanley, the superstar there. In center field, Mike Stanton is going to be a monster, probably the next Miguel Cabrera. And Chris Coughlin is supposed to be pretty good. He hasn't really done much yet, but we'll see what he can do. They added Omar Infante. He'll go to the second base. And this pitching rotation actually could be pretty good. You look at Josh Johnson, who's a 15-game winner, 200-strikeout guy at the top there. Ricky Nolasco isn't too bad. Javier Vasquez and Anibal Sanchez, along with Chris Volstead. I mean, this isn't too bad of a rotation. Their bullpen is going to be probably the bigger issue. I think they could have some problems. They could get their starters to 5-6 innings, and then the bullpen melts down, which is kind of what they did a lot last year. But I actually like the Marlins this year, and I think they could be a nice surprise in the East.
Yeah, the Marlins, they've got one more year in their current ballpark. Until they move, I still expect about 18 people to be at their games. But as they always do, they have some real exciting young players, both pitching and in the field. And I think they're going to be a fun team to watch. And as you mentioned, Johnson, Nolasco, Vasquez at the top. Hanley and Stanton will be one of the best dynamic duos of any lineup. I made a note here. Last season, this team never got to more than four games above 500. They couldn't get over that hump for some reason. I think they'll have a chance to compete this year, but the division is going to be pretty tough. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to get to our predictions for the National League East right after this. Stay with us.
Baseball's best behind-the-scenes reporter.
0800. Buster checks box scores.
Buster has an unquenchable desire for knowledge.
And that, my friends, equals BJ Ogden.
And a blog that always keeps fans in the know.
Interesting.
ESPN's Buster Olney is everywhere at once.
Hold on a second. Ichiro! Gayashu.
And he's part of the best team in baseball.
Welcome back to TY's 20. Got Seth Lawrence on the phone here. We're talking baseball, National League Eastern Division. It is time to do our predictions for this season, and we're going to start with fifth place, and I'll start with mine in the NL East. Unfortunately, once again, I have the Washington Nationals in fifth place this year. I think if they had a healthy Steven Strasburg, I think they might be able to make some more noise. They've got some good young talent, but not this year. I've got them in fifth place. Seth, who is your fifth place team?
Other than that, kind of what you said. Steven Strasburg's out. There's, you know, young talent still developing. Give them a few years. They'll be okay.
All right, Seth, who do you have for fourth place?
The Mets. They're a joke right now. They've got talent, but they don't have enough, and I just, if they're out of it by the deadline, I look for them to start fire-snowing guys. Beltran, probably Luis Castillo will go. I don't know who else they try to get rid of, but those are the two big ones. I think they will eventually get rid of those two.
Yeah, I also agree with you on this one. Fourth place for me is the New York Mets. Just too many question marks for me to be serious contenders. I will ask you this. Are you happy with the new manager hire?
I don't know yet. I didn't know much about Terry Collins. I didn't even know much about Sandy Alderson. And then I was doing my homework on Alderson, and he's a good guy. And actually, he's redone the entire front office to a point where he has probably some of the best baseball minds up there with him. So
yeah,
I'm excited about the future, but just right now is kind of what's going to kill me.
True that. All right, moving right along, my third place prediction for the NL East this year. This is where it gets tough for me in this division, but I'm going to go with the Marlins in third. I think they're going to have a winning record. I think they're going to have a shot at contending this season, and I think they'll be in the race for the better part of the year, but just not enough to compete with the top two teams as it stands right now. Who do you got for third place?
I'm the Braves. I don't like the pitching. Their rotation, like I said, it's a bunch of 3-4 starters. Once you get past Tommy Hansen, they've got, you know, nice talent in the field, but I don't think their pitching is that great. Their, you know, Tim Hudson hasn't had a nice bounce back year, but he's old. Can he stay healthy? Can Chipper Jones stay healthy? I just I don't like their bullpen much. It's young, inexperienced. I like the Braves at third.
All right, so our first disagreement, I've got the Braves in second place, although, like I said, the Marlins could be up there. You know, the Braves, to me, I definitely like their pitching a little bit more than you. I think Mike Minor is going to have a good year as well, and Jair Jurdens might have a better year if he's healthier. But I just couldn't ignore the ridiculous rotation in Philadelphia. So I've got the Braves at second. And I've got the Phillies winning this division. I don't think they're going to be the 100-win team that you'd think with, you know, that rotation, but I do see them winning, 93 games or so, winning the division and then being extremely dangerous, as always, in the playoffs. So who do you got in your top two spots?
I have the Marlins. I think they're 1-4 is better than the Braves and in the starting rotation. And I kind of think their young hitters are a little bit better than the Braves. I think they can do more things offensively. You can't really run. I mean, Jason Hayward's about the only base stealer they've got, and I think the Marlins have quite a few in Coughlin, Ramirez, and Infante. So I think there's a little more versatility to this lineup. And then first place, like you said, the Phillies, I mean, they're just ridiculous. I think they win 100 games, and I think they blow this division out of the water by 15-20.
Well, to me, it seems like they've always had the talent to do that, but for whatever reason, it seems like they only kick it up a notch later in the season. I don't know what it is. That's the reason to me that I think it could be a three-team race for the most part of the season, but I think we can both agree on this. The NL East is going to have some really good and interesting pitching matchups throughout the season.
Yeah, I actually think that the East has probably the best pitching in the entire league, NL and AL. I think they've got adding Roy Halladay and Cliff Lee out of the American League last year definitely adds that there. Strasburg in Washington is good. Josh Johnson in Florida is good. Hanson in Atlanta is good. Those are probably some of the top pitchers in baseball right now, and they're all in one division, so that's going to make it tough for offenses in this league.
All right, so there you have it, our NL East preview. It's been a lot of fun to finally talk some baseball again. Seth, we'll have you back next week, and we're going to talk about the AL East. Can't wait for it.
Oh, man, that's going to be a good division, too.
All right, man, take it easy.
All right, you too, T.Y. Thanks, man.
That's all we got for today's show. Check out TYS20.com, and like we just mentioned, the American League East will be previewed next week. As Harry Carey would say, only the shadow knows. Take care.